In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Father Thomas Aquinas, dear brothers, Father, dear friends, once again, a great honor and a privilege to come back to St. Isidore's. Whenever people ask us, where are you going from the ordinations on our way home, we say we're going to go to St. Isidore's and the look of jealousy. St. Isidore's is a special parish. We are very happy to come and to give you this gift of Father's very first solemn high mass. It was Father Thomas Aquinas who, as you recall, a few years ago, who made his perpetual vows in this church. So here we could say are the first fruits of that total commitment to the church, to God, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Truly the gift of God is the priest. If only you knew the gift of God. The priest is God's gift to us. The priest is the means by which God communicates his gifts to his people. And so this gift of the Mass today has a very special meaning for us, to return a little bit to you that you have done for us. During the years, if I could use military words, the years of combat, when we overcame the enemy to build the pews, overcoming freezing temperatures, boiling temperatures, poor conditions, but always the great outpouring of charity which made the work go on, the outpouring of charity from the people of St. Isidore's, the faithful, coming to help us, coming to encourage us, and wanting to be able to sit down during Mass. I realize the pews are not quite 100% finished. We'll bring you your cashmere kneelers before too long. For now, it's good to do a little bit of penance. You can't cheat with pads, of course. And we'll finish up the job as soon as we can. What a great blessing for us to receive now our third new priest. We're happy to share and to share especially the graces of the priesthood with all of you. You who have made yourselves to be our second family, our adoptive family. What a great joy for us to be back for this Mass. As it is for each of us, and I'm sure as it is for all of you, the practice of integrity in the matters of the Catholic faith has been a long road, a road of return, a crossing of many bridges. But not for us to forget that this path of return, this path of conversion, this long travel to the truth, to the church, the true church, has not been shown to us by ordinary signs. We have not followed signposts along the way indicating to us the right way to go. And many times there have been trials and sufferings, finding our bearings back to Holy Mother Church, back to our Mother. And this is why I want to talk to you today about our Father. Because it has been not by signposts as such, but by the guiding hand of Archbishop Lefebvre, the hand of our Father who has shown us the way back to our Mother, Holy Mother Church. And it is through the fidelity of one man, as it will be here, likewise through the fidelity of one and many men, that many more souls will find their way back to Holy Mother Church. And so, through the fidelity of one man, the true faith is once again to be found. He who has shown us the way personally by the example of his life, but especially by the commitment of his vocation. For through one vocation, many vocations will follow. We ask God to send us many more priests. We ask God to send us many religious vocations. But these vocations all come from one. Just as our Savior is the author and source of all of our vocations, whether it be to the religious life, to the priesthood, or to the married state, the true Catholic state of holy matrimony, through the fidelity of one man, many vocations have been born and brought back to life in many cases, such as ours, revived from the sickness and the suffering of error. And so today in this Mass, let us not forget to thank our Father who has gone before us and given us our vocation by his vocation. Archbishop Lefebvre was very, first of all, a religious. He was a member of a religious order, just as we are members of the Order of Saint Benedict. He wanted to give himself to God entirely in the religious life, through the pronouncing of the vows of religion. As you have pronounced your vows of holy matrimony, so too the religious pronounce their vows, as Father has done a few years ago in this church. Unless there be this commitment, unless there be this marriage of sorts, not just that of the holy matrimony, but that of every commitment to God, which is like a marriage. Unless there be this condition, there cannot be the consequences. There cannot be the repercussions of commitments which are like its beginning. As we learn in philosophy, the cause is, so are its effects. If there is holiness in the beginning, if there is love of God in the beginning, there will be also in the end, in its effects. And so the repercussions of commitment give more of that spirit. The Archbishop's fidelity has given to us the spirit of being faithful. And the daily conversion required by every religious to persevere, he has given to us also, so that we might persevere, so that we might endure the difficulties of the crisis today. Through one man, through the vocation of one man, many vocations have been brought to life. And many vocations are being brought to life today May your parish be blessed with the special mark of giving vocations to the church, whether it be your children, your relatives, your friends. May St. Isidore's also give that supreme gift, the greatest gift of all to God, which is a religious vocation. The Archbishop, through his vocation, through his religious life, through his priesthood, is waking up today in many, many parishes worldwide, including St. Isidore's, this gift to back to God. What shall I give back to God for all that he has done for me? I will take the chalice of salvation, the perseverance required of us is a taking up of that chalice and a drinking of that chalice of the passion and death of Christ. To persevere in a difficult time, in difficult circumstances, it is a taking up of that same chalice of our Savior and to drink that sacrament, that self-sacrifice, to participate in that very key element of our redemption. And for the religious, they must climb the cross being the ladder to heaven, and embrace a life of joy, but also of difficult, of sacrifice. There can be no life outside of the cross, no religious life, no Catholic life, unless there be that element of sacrifice, of self-sacrifice. Every single day it is not easy, but that perseverance, that fidelity to the daily self-sacrifice of the Archbishop has given to us the very means by which we persevere each and every day. May this Mass of Thanksgiving be focused on this great truth, the gratitude that we owe to our spiritual father, the Archbishop, who has allowed this church to exist, to be built, and to be filled with very, very good souls, to be filled with a family of which there is a father. There is a spiritual father of this family. And may there be many, many increasing moments of more vocations, more children, more families, the growth of the families, vocation to the priesthood, all from this parish. It is a tall order that God is asking of us. Can we do it? When our Savior explained the religious vocation in the Gospel, he said, those who can understand, let them understand what this is. Not everyone can understand the nature of self-sacrifice on a personal level. But then when we gaze upon the crucifix, how can we say no? How can we turn away from the face of our Savior? How can we turn our backs on the most sacred heart of Jesus opened up for the salvation of all men, all mankind? The blood and the water which flows unto our redemption is the birth of the vocation. How can we turn our backs and say no? Are we ever ready to fully commit ourselves to God? No. Who can be ready? Who can be ready to accomplish a divine work? Only God can make us that way. Only God can give the vocation. Only God can call with the divine voice in a way in which we can hear in our soul the spiritual language of the vocation. It is through the religious vocation of our spiritual father that we all live today, that we have all made this return, this conversion, this discovery, this rebirth, this crossing of many bridges back to the truth. May we unite ourselves today with the holy priesthood, which we honor in this Mass, for which we give thanks to God for this great gift of a new priest, one more priest serving when we need 1,000 more. It does not matter. It is the work of God. Numbers don't matter. Quality is more important than quantity in this case. Let us pray for our priests. A priest is like a living rosary, a joyful mystery. The first joyful mystery of the Annunciation, the mystery of obedience to the will of God, the mystery of being found faithful in prayer as Our Lady, and then the repercussions, the consequences would be infinite in the mystery of the Incarnation, which includes the Annunciation, the first joyful mystery having an infinitude of consequences. What will happen when we are found faithful in prayer, desirous to accomplish the will of God only? The consequences never change. The nature of fidelity, the nature of obedience, the nature of the love of God has an infinite amount of effects, of repercussions throughout all eternity. Why? Because they are divine. These virtues come from God. And we, when we are faithful, when we are obedient, when we are full of the charity of God, it is God in us. It is God acting, living in us. The second joyful mystery, the Visitation, where Jesus is, there is Mary. Where Mary is, there is Jesus. And they are visiting us through the sacraments, through the rosary, through the prayers of the church. How many times we have missed out on that divine visitation. Our Savior cries upon Jerusalem, "If only you knew the time of thy visitation. If only you knew. The time of thy visitation is now. For the joyous mystery of the Visitation is permanent. There, wheresoever Mary shall be, so shall be Jesus. Ubi Maria ibi Jesus." The third joyful mystery, the Nativity, the mystery of God being made man in the conditions of poverty and trust in God, and the creation of the Holy Family necessary for that mystery of our redemption. The Holy Family, our family, Saint Joseph, our foster father, Our Lady, the Queen of Heaven, our Queen, Jesus, our Savior. The fourth joyful mystery, the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, the mystery of the law, the commandments of God for us to fulfill first and foremost. We who love the law of God must live it out in our lifetime, so that our life becomes a tablet of commandments, a living tablet by which the law of love is engraved on our soul. The purification of Mary, the fulfillment, the filling up, the perfection of the law of love, of charity. The fifth joyful mystery, the finding of the child Jesus teaching the doctors of the temple. God speaks through us God speaks through human voices. He speaks through his priests and through his people, his children. What we say or what we do not say matters unto an infinity of results. Souls are converted by what they hear or by what they see or by what they don't see or by what they don't hear. The blessing of God upon those who persevere in following our Savior, faithfully staying with him in the difficult times when our faith is put to the test. Son, why have you done this to us? The Blessed Virgin Mary cries out to Jesus, the boy. Quid fecisti nobis hic? What have you done? What are you doing? Teaching the doctors of the church. Cannot you see I must be about my Father's business? Cannot we see what is our business at stake right now? Our true work, our mission. We approach the altar of sacrifice unto the holy sacrament of matrimony. We approach the altar of sacrifice unto the religious vocation. We approach the altar of sacrifice unto the holy priesthood. But then what comes next? What's after that? What is our mission to be accomplished until our last breath? To communicate, to repeat, to transmit what we have received. Jesus teaching the doctors in the church. Now is our turn to teach by good example, by a life of fidelity whereby others can see and imitate, knowing that we have a vocation of upholding the holiest of examples, which is the example of the Catholic faith lived out in our lifetime. I once asked a young woman, who always dressed very, very well. Is it difficult to do that? To always wear a dress? Is it not hard for a woman to do that? Especially today when to wear one's dress is to wear a banner of a battle. On the field of battle, to wave, to hold one's flag of one's country, of one's nation, all the way to victory. Is it not difficult? She said, it cannot be any other way because this is who I am. This is what I am. God made me this way. I have no choice. It is my duty to wear my uniform. Because I am never off duty, because my gender never has an on or an off switch, because even in my home, God is with me more than when I'm with my friends. Must we not always be in the presence of God, which never ends, never goes to sleep, never wakes up, always the same. She said, I have to do this because of who I am and what God has made me, and especially what God has made me to understand. Now I cannot go back and say I did not understand. And I cannot refuse what God asks of me. To follow Jesus in this special way of teaching, as the fifth joyous mystery reminds us, is a life of commitment, always following Christ and being the faithful echo of his teaching of charity through good example, not just good enough example, but the very best. Just as God does for us, so must we also do for others. Only the very best of ourselves. The life of the priest is also sorrowful mysteries. The agony in the garden, fidelity to the last breath, persecution, suffering, doubts, temptations, solitude, loneliness. No one has ever suffered this more than our Savior, and no one suffers it more today than priests. Unless they have recourse to the mystery of the agony in the garden, to the angel of consolation, the messenger of God, who represents the presence of God always with us, never leaving us alone, never abandoning us. And in this case, that agony takes on a new meaning, because as we learn in school, in language class, the Greek language, also our sacred language of Greek, agony means the conflict of the competition. Agonia in Greek means the stress of competition in sports, in athletics. What you have to do to overcome the other team, what you have to undergo, the sacrifice you have to make of yourself to win, to be victorious, that's what agony really means. And there's where it concerns all of us. We have to rise up. And when the score, as it is in athletics, is tied, we have to break through and to be victorious. Someone has to win. The agony in the garden with Jesus, the priest, us always with our Savior. The flagellation. Yes, we have to be corrected. We have to be disciplined. We have to convert and to change. Sometimes God speaks to us in many ways that we don't always expect them to be unto our correction, unto our humility, unto our knowledge, a discipline of sorts. Discipline means to learn. The disciple, we are disciples of Christ, always learning more lessons, more teachings from our Savior. The crowning with thorns, the supreme humiliation before the eyes of the world, what are we? Nothing. Nothing. The world spits upon us also. The world covers us in purple robes also to mock us. Who do you think you are? And the same answer. We keep silence with our Savior. Pontius Pilate, who asked Jesus, what is the truth? What is the truth? Are you a king? The world asks us the same question. What is the truth? Is there an absolute truth? Yes. And it's a living person. That absolute truth is someone for whom we live, for whom we die, that which we cannot describe, that keeps us going, that gives us the strength to persevere, is someone helping us, a divine person, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. The carrying of the cross, perseverance in the times of trials and tribulation and suffering, especially solitary suffering, when it is just us on the cross, just us, and the crucifix. No one else sees us. Your Father who sees in secret asks one more little sacrifice to say yes, to help some hidden unknown soul in the need of grace. in the need of conversion, to carry one's cross and never to stop. At that very moment when that will change the tide, that will turn the tide of conversion for some unknown soul. As St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, who converted the convicted felon facing his death, facing his executioners, was asked, in his very last breath, he asked to see a crucifix to kiss his Redeemer, to make peace with God. Just when we are about to abandon our cross and to give up, one sinner is waiting for that kiss of peace. God asks us to do our part, to participate in that conversion. It's the mystery of charity, to participate in a divine work. The crucifixion and death of our Savior, the ultimate sacrifice. Now the cross is presented to us. We are asked if we can understand. Who can understand? Let him understand to climb and to take our turn. If the Son of Man be raised above the earth, he will draw all things to him. May we be drawn by this special means of the symbol of our faith, present in each one of our homes, the crucifix. The priesthood is also a glorious mystery, the resurrection, the triumph of the virtue of faith, the triumph of the virtue of hope, the ascension, the triumph of the virtue of charity, the descent of the Holy Ghost, the triumph of devotion and consecration to Our Lady, the Assumption, the triumph of subjection to the Queen of Heaven, the coronation of Our Lady. A glorious mystery, a joyous mystery, a sorrowful mystery. This is the life of the priest. May we pray for our priests, for their perseverance. And this is what they said to me. You're going to St. Isidore's. They take such good care of their priests. They love their priests so much. A special place. I close with one announcement for you. We received the blessing from the bishop to proceed with the project. A very important project which is an invitation to the parishioners of St. Isidore's. We asked His Excellency, can we, in the name of America, in the name of our nation, in the name of the conversion of our country, which was cut off by the violent upheaval of the conciliar errors, the conciliar confusion, in the name of America, can we please institute a great pilgrimage pro Deo et Patria, for God and country, which is the motto of the military chaplains and American armed forces, pro Deo et Patria, for God and country. Can we not replicate a great pilgrimage from Europe and do it in America? And he said, what do you want to do? My reputation always precedes me. I said, Your Excellency, I would like to replicate Santiago. He said, oh, how? I said, well, the pilgrimage in Spain of Santiago is 800 kilometers, 500 miles to walk the traditional medieval pilgrimage across Spain. That just happens to be the exact same mileage between St. Isidore's and St. Mary's, Kansas. Can we do it? He said, "Well, you first." So we are going to do it. You're going to be seeing more of us with rolls of maps and knocking on doors to see where we can go, where we can stay. And we're going to walk the American Santiago, whatever might become the name in the future. We really have no name for it now. We're going to walk the pilgrimage with your permission and blessing on Ash Wednesday 2011, next spring, and walk east to St. Mary's to go on where we have the apostolate of preaching the parish mission during Passion Week. So it will be a special Lent. We ask for your prayers for this important project, this American pilgrimage in the heart of America, the very middle of our country, walking between the two most important parishes, in our opinion, to connect them together, to pray for our country. And those of you who would like to participate, to help us to organize, to help us to keep going during the pilgrimage, you can communicate your desires to your pastor and let us know how we can do this. It will just be the monks only at first, and then we will publish our itinerary for those who would like to follow in later times. So we have chosen St. Isidore's as the beginning place, as it has been a beginning place for many great things, many more great things to come. So as we continue our organization of this great project of a pilgrimage, Pro Deo et Patria, as we say, if you're interested, just let us know and we will try and accommodate your help. So it will be a very successful pilgrimage according to the model of the ancient pilgrimages of Christendom in Europe. We thought it is time now to bring these great acts of faith, hope, and love to America, and then to bring to life the spirit of generosity, which is so typical of our country, to do something great for God and something on the same level, if not greater than that, of the great actions of the Christians of our past, our Catholic heritage. What we have received from our fathers in the faith, it is time now to do something in return. We thought this might be the very most fitting thing to do. So I make this humble announcement to you and recommending this project to your prayers, and that we all persevere and offer this Holy Mass in thanksgiving to God for all the graces that we have received for the miracle of St. Isidore's, the living miracle of St. Isidore's, which goes on every day. And may the God's holy will be done in us, and may God bless you always. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.